to our second week of Brown Girls Talk Dirty. I'm Sinelli.
And I'm Karam.
And we are here with our guest.
Fabulous Amen is here to talk about her experiences. So she's basically just like super woke, super feminist. She just has become so self-actualized and she just knows how to approach dating and just has this very, I think, strong and comfortable perspective with herself and with men. And it's something I'm still struggling and navigating with. And I just think she's the bomb.
I grew up half in Pakistan and half in Dubai. And I now am in Toronto. I've been here for like 10 months now. So just ran away from Dubai, decided I need to make a life out of my own.
Were you always like this? Were you always so comfortable with sex and men and dating? Okay, so what changed?
I think feminism helped quite a bit. Like it helped to have very strong female friendships around you and have people around you who are always going to build you up, because I've seen the difference between some of my friends who now are getting back in touch with me and getting close to me and exploring their sexuality and being able to confide only in me, whereas I already had that from such a young age that I mean, don't get me wrong, I lost my virginity at 21.
So what changed at 21? So wait, first give me a little bit of a background. So you said you grew up in Pakistan initially.
I was there till I was 14.
You were there till you were 14. And what was life over there like in terms of, first of all, how do you define feminism? And how was that in Pakistan? Like what was life like for that in Pakistan?
Well, feminism for me is choice for women. All we want is really indifference from men. We just want to exist in our own spaces and be able to do things that men already do and nobody bats an eye. I just want the same thing for us. I think that's what it boils down to. In Pakistan, feminism, I mean, there are some amazing feminists there. I think that's where it all started. For me, that's where it all started. I've always had these values. I just didn't know what label to assign to it. And I think when I moved to Dubai and I was in university and the internet was booming and everything was happening. And then I finally like started like reading these articles, but I never associated feminist with a bad name because I think that's in the West. A lot of my Western girlfriends were like, oh, I don't want to be a feminist because they're looked down upon. But I didn't have that because in Dubai, you weren't a feminist. Nobody knew what it really was. And then I started just reading about it and I'm like, oh, this is something that I agree with. So I guess I'm a feminist. So yeah, Pakistan was very different though. It's very, very different being a woman in Pakistan and being a woman in Dubai and being a woman in Toronto.
Wow.
There are three different levels. And it's when I do a cross-section, I'm just very surprised that I live here now. I think if I look back at 9-year-old Amen, I don't think I would have ever thought that this is where I would have been able to come so far.
So take us back to Amen when she was 9 and the process of change that has happened. I'm so awaiting the juicy story because I know it's coming. You know what I mean?
I know it's coming. The first time, the juicy story is just that I went through a heartbreak. I was dating a boy in Dubai, so not at 9. Who dates a boy at 9? I mean, do you? But oh my God. Didn't date a boy at 9. I started dating someone at 15. I fell in love with him. Obviously, I wasn't in love with him. We were together for a month. It felt like eternity. But we were together for a month, and then he broke up with me, dumped my ass, to be very fair, and to go back to his ex-girlfriend. And I was broken. I was like this fairy tale girl who believed in realities. Fairy tales. And then I became this person who was like, I'm never going to cry like that ever again. Mm. And I didn't. So it comes like, I think it's very sweet that Karam thinks that I'm very self-actualized, even though honestly in my current relationship, I've had a lot of issues with being jaded and trying to balance that with being in love. So I think it really does.
Elaborate on that. That's so deep. What do you mean by what makes you feel jaded?
Well, I have dated and slept with a lot of men.
Yes.
A lot. Terrifying amount, actually. I kept a list. I shouldn't have.
I saw the list. I feel very honored. Wait, tell us how old you are now.
I'm 27.
Okay. And so she's been in a relationship with someone for about 8 months now?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're like legit boyfriend, girlfriend, yes. But it is a very modern relationship, I think.
Yeah.
And only if you're comfortable talking about it.
Yeah, of course. Completely. Yeah. I met Karam knows my boyfriend. I met him, went 3 months after I moved here. Wasn't expecting to meet someone because I was like, men are trash everywhere. So I just moved again. No. And honestly, I had a lot of bad experiences. I was dating since I moved here because that's how I survived. That's who I am. That's my identity. I miss it a little. And I was just dating left, right, and center. Tinder and OkCupid were my hub. And then I finally met this boy at a party of all places. Who does that anymore, right? But I met him, and then I was there the first night they met,
I must say. And I was dancing up an incredible dorm. You guys missed out.
She was not dancing incredibly. Have to put that in there. But we started dating, and he was completely the opposite of the guys that I usually go for, who are built assholes. Toxic masculinity to the max. But then I met him, and I was like, okay, he really liked me. And I was like, fine, whatever. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to sleep with him, I guess. And ended up like falling in love with him. It was such a cliche rom-com shit. I don't know. Are we here to talk about rom-com stuff or dirty stuff, though?
Girl, you talk about your reality.
My reality right now is this rom-com shit. Unfortunately, we're that couple. But before him, there's been a lot of mess. Like, I've been with so many guys. I've tried to date them. I haven't always tried to date them. I have also just slept with them because I didn't want a relationship. I mean, Dubai men are very fickle, so they're very hot, gorgeous. I'll show you later some of the guys that I've been with. Completely out of my league, punching way above my league, but you know what? Men are idiots, so whatever.
Well, first, I don't think there's such a thing as out of your league. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take that out of your vocabulary. Sinelli mom over here. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So you were dating. Now, how did you do you judge yourself on dating? Like you said, you have this list and you shouldn't have kept a list. Why do you feel like you should have not kept a list?
Because who cares? Like, who cares about how many men I slept with? And I think at this point, it's more like, I can't believe I did this. And more not like out of shame. It was like, I can't believe I did this. As in, wow, I'm so proud of myself. Mm. So just, I've got their names and their nationalities next to each other. Because Dubai is so multicultural, right? So like, all of them, they're like Lebanese, French. They're just all over the world. It's fantastic.
Not just that, but I'm so sorry. I'm going to have to say this.
No,
she has
please.
A star rating system. So like,
I do have a star rating system. I'd forgotten about that. Oh my God. Okay, so if there's no star next to your name, it means you were not impressive. It just means that you were average. But then if there is a 3-star, I think it starts with like 1 star and then 2 star. Yeah, 1 star is like good. No star is like bad. 1 star is good. 2 stars is like all right. I think it's out of 4. I don't know who did this. I did this. I made this rating myself. But I didn't realize that 4 is an odd number. So now it's out of 4. And now I put that next to their names.
That is so cool. So was there ever like a comeback? Because it was like 4.5 stars. So it's like, holla, holla. You know, like, let me just call you real quick and like double time that star, you know?
For sure. For sure. I had so many of those. It was a good life. Now that I've left it all behind.
Okay, so I just want to talk about that real quick. Were you ever educated on sex? Like, was it something you were taught? Like, life in Dubai, do they ever they didn't talk about it.
No.
Where did you gain most of your knowledge from?
The internet. The internet, most of my friends were having sex. Actually, I was probably one of the first few because I lost it in university, which is so taboo. But I still made I've always been, I think one thing my friends really appreciate about me is that I'm very straight up about what I think about what's happening with you. I will, of course, quote it with sugar if I have to. I'm not a bitch. I can't be, but I'm not. But I'm very honest, and I try to be honest with myself. So even though I could see that my friends were obviously judging me when it came to how far I was going with my boyfriend in university at that stage, who I loved, by the way. Like, I lost my virginity to someone I loved very much, and I still like think of him very fondly. I mean, it didn't last, obviously, but it was a good relationship, you know. It was a mature adult relationship.
So do you use that to justify why you had sex, or is that what you say to yourself? Or
I do think brown women, especially with the kind of cultural impacts and, you know, the kind of hangups that we have when we grow up, so all of my friends, when they are just, and it's now, like, it's like at this age, my late 20s, my friends are like, okay, should I be having sex? And I'm like, yo, do it with someone that you're comfortable with, at least. Like, I would do it with probably a rod. Like, at this point, I...
I don't know. Did you say a rod?
I don't have many standards. I also sugar, by the way. So
I don't know what that means.
sugaring means sugar baby, sugar daddy, relationship. Like someone is, it's like glorified sex work. They'll pay you for a date. It's the girlfriend experience.
You go out for people.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's really fun.
How'd you get into that?
I got to Toronto and I was like, it's legal here.
And I get paid for it.
Look, if I'm going to be having so much bad sex, I might as well be getting paid for it. That's why.
Does that involve sex?
Yeah, sugaring? Let's be honest. It is sex work. It's. I mean, there are some that you can get platonically involved with, but most of them want to have sex. That's the entire point.
So now, did this affect your friend circle, like in terms of brown girls?
I actually have told most of them. I think I've told like 80% of my friends.
Ooh, why are we not telling the other 20?
Don't know. I don't think they're ready for it. This is, look, having sex is one thing. And then, you know, having sex for money is another thing. So that's something brown people are still navigating around. It was a whole conversation with my boyfriend because I wanted to not stop sugaring because I'm on an immigrant salary. I need some extra dough. And I was like, I just told him straight up that this is something I want to do. But he's absolutely lovely. And he was like, But that's all I'm doing. I'm not dating other people. I'm not sleeping with other people for free.
I have so many questions.
Please.
So, is your boyfriend brown?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He's
wow.
from Tanzania, actually.
Wow. Like, okay. And for a brown guy, that's pretty progressive. So, uh-huh. Do you still have sex with these guys? You do sugaring? Is that how you frame how you
sugaring,
word it?
Sugaring, yeah.
You do sugaring with? Is sex still involved?
Yes, sex is very
and
much so involved.
And he's totally cool with this.
Well, okay, so I think we're still navigating the boundaries of this. He's not 200% cool with it, but he does understand the kind of person that I am. Because it would actually affect our relationship if he turned around and said no, because I don't see the logic of him being jealous. These are not men I'm dating with a prospect of seeing a future with. And it's still not, I don't even call it an open relationship because, again, I'm doing this for money. It's work. Like if I was waitressing outside, I literally look at it as work. Mm-hmm. If I was waitressing, would he have a problem with it? Mm-hmm. No. So that's the only thing.
That is, I am so impressed because you will not find a lot of progressive, and I'm not shitting on brown guys, but it's just generally harder for them to wrap their heads around something like that. Yeah. Like, I mean,
oh, for sure.
You know, like, I don't know if I would be comfortable. So yeah. if that was his job, you would be comfortable with that too.
Oh, for sure. But I also know the boy, he cannot separate sex from emotions. I think that is very important to do.
That is so true.
Yeah, I can. I always have been able to, oddly. I can obviously have sex with emotions.
Right.
But for me, they're two very different things. One needed to be separated.
Have you ever got attached to a client? No. Or enjoy the company so much where it's...
Yes. So the first time I started doing this, it was a very odd... Like, I didn't know what I was doing. There isn't a lot of information on the internet. What they have is more long-term sugar babies, sugar daddies things. But it doesn't really work like that in real life. You're going to mostly see these guys for like 3 dates, 4 dates, and then they're going to disappear. So nobody's going to give you an allowance or, you know, pay your rent. Like, you're not going to see them long enough for that. So the pay-per-date thing usually works out because that's fair to both parties. And most men are okay with it. So when I didn't know this, and I realized this much later because I went on so many dates. But I was fooled into thinking that, you know, unless it's not sexual, don't really make them pay, which was really silly because it's not like I can't afford my own drinks. And you're still taking up my time. But this is before I was dating my boyfriend, and I saw a guy who I ended up being in not a relationship, but we ended up dating actually for 2 months. But then he was on that website. I don't know why. Like, he told me he got out of a relationship, a longer relationship, and his friend told him that, you know, this is no strings attached. This is uncomplicated. He was a lawyer. And then I met him. Not someone I would ever go for on Tinder. No jokes. I would have swiped left on him. But I met him, and he was really lovely and so complimentary and genuine towards me. And he was really charming, like, as a person. So I ended up actually liking him. But then I realized that when things got sexual, I was just like, I'm uncomfortable doing this because we haven't talked about the money. And I would feel used and stupid if I didn't talk to you about this. So we ended up backtracking. We were both a little high. And we ended up going home. And then he's like, yeah, it's totally fine. And then I met him the next day. And I was almost in tears, because I'm in tears quite often, actually. But I was in tears. And I was like, listen, I really like you. But I don't know what you're looking for. Is this the girlfriend experience? Am I being stupid? Am I that person who's falling for her sugar daddy? And he was like, no.
I just got it. That's why they call it sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Sugaring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
I know. Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. So then he was like, listen, I was just going to tell you that I don't have any problems spending money on you. It's not like money is an issue. Obviously, he was loaded. But he's like, I would have a problem that if you hung out with me, only if I paid you though. So the nature of our relationship needs to change. I know we met on such a website, but I really genuinely like you. And we'd been on like 4 dates at this point. And I was like, dude, that makes complete sense to me. He's like, yeah, I want to date you. And I was like, okay, let's forget we ever met on that app. And then we'll just go on and date like normal people. And we did for like 2 months. Then he ghosted me. I love men.
Ah, the ghosting. I felt that too. So Eamon's been really helpful with dealing with my emotional ups and downs from being ghosted. And I feel like you are very much like, whatever, he ghosted me, fuck him, and you move on. I'm still reeling, and it's been like half a year since my experience, so teach me your ways, please. Because I remember having a conversation with you where I said, how were you able to grow and separate emotion from sex? And you told me, actually, with you, it wasn't like a process. It was pretty much just
clear yeah, from the start. Yeah.
Natural. With me, unfortunately, my heart is in my pussy, or my pussy's in my heart. I don't know how that works out, but they're very much connected. So I guess I'm curious about whether this is something you can grow into, an approach that you can have, or if I'm just kind of set in this way and I'm still kind of figuring shit out, because I only started dating last year
when
I was 28. So I'm still very fresh.
So I feel like the fact that you start dating so late in your life, that's a huge part of why you're so attached. Like, I don't think I would have sugared 6 years back when I lost my virginity. You know, I wouldn't have done it. I would be like, oh my God, that's never going to be me. That's awful and blah, blah, blah. This, all the hangups that we have. So not that I feel like you're ever judgmental to the point that I would have been judgmental about it if one of my friends had probably come out to me and said it. But I don't think you're judgmental. I think you understand all the terms and conditions. It's just that I think for you, I think you'll be fine. Like, I really do think you'll be fine. It's just too early. You're being too harsh on yourself.
Yeah. I'm very much a late bloomer, so still trying to figure it out. Except now I've taken an all or nothing approach, where I had a really shitty dating experience a couple weeks ago. I told you about it, but I'll just recap it real quick. Went out on a first date with a dude. We had amazing chemistry, great time, great date. Afterwards, we went for a stroll, and he said, you know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but do you want to come over? I live down the street. And I was like, great, I would love to come over, but I should be clear, I don't want to do anything other than make out. He said, cool. We went upstairs, and within 5-10 seconds of making out, he's like, take off your top. And he was just very angry when I said no. So ever since then, I was just like completely horrified and got off all the apps. So there's a lot of navigating going on. I just need to learn how to not assume all men are trash.
You know what? What I find actually really interesting is that you have like those things have to be said these days. So I've been with my partner for about 8 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. We've been married for 2.5.
Oh, wow.
So, but, you know, for me, it was like, even when I was dating before him, if you went out on a date, you never put disclaimers. You know what I mean? It was kind of like, if you made out, then you made out. Yeah. It just kind of happened. You know, that it was very organic, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, for me, it's just so alarming to just kind of be like, hey, we're going up to my place, but we're just going to make out. And I'd be like, oh, so there's even now there's that expectation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that I just feel like the whole concept of dating right now, it would be so stressful.
I
think if I was not married at this point, I would be at home with 5 dogs, because this just seems, it's so hard.
It seems hard.
So you have to like be on your toes. You have to put yourself out there. And it's almost so brave. Like, my thing is, I come from a place like Nigeria, so I was instilled, and not blaming Nigeria because I love Nigeria. Like, that home is everything to me, you know? But we were always so careful with how we lived. It was like, you know, you had to be home at a certain time. And if you weren't home at a certain time, there would be a lot of checking. So for me, and thanks to Karam, she told me a very scary story about a Tinder date. You know, I hear all these stories. I'm like, I cannot trust anybody I don't know through anybody. And an apps from through an app, certainly not. Mm. You know, so that in itself is so, it's such a big deal to me that, you know, these days people have to put disclaimers out there and be like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do.
I think it's consent, right? Everyone, like men don't understand. And I think like just how we've evolved as dating in the 21st century is just a mess. Like it's all about games. You wait 3 days before texting back. Who does these things? Why do you need to do these things? And also just, it's very hard with the whole Aziz Ansari article coming out and, you know, consent being so, there's such a gray area about what, I didn't actually rape you, right? So it's not, where is the line? And men don't seem to understand that because they've always been handed things on a platter.
Exactly. So my approach was that, you know, this gray area is so fluid. And in my previous, I don't even want to call it a relationship because it wasn't, but my previous experience with guys, it was more like they would kind of push the situation and I wouldn't say no. Yeah. So it progressed sexually.
So normal.
But here I was like, hey, awesome first date. We're really vibing. In the spirit and age of like consent and full communication and being adults, mm-hmm, I was like, I'm going to make this clear. I'm going to be straight up, you know, take the aim, yeah, and approach to things. And he, yeah, was like, yeah, totally, cool. And then
he wasn't
and
cool.
And then he wasn't. So I'm very much discouraged. And instead of like living alone with five dogs, I'm just going to live alone with five cats. So, yeah.
So what changed? You know how you said like maybe 6 years ago you would have not done sugaring. You would have said no. So what changed in those 6 years?
I think just the fact that just more education around feminism. Like feminism does include sex workers. It's choices for all women, right? And it's all kinds of choices. So just exploring that theme. And then also I ended up sleeping with half the city. Not even kidding. I used to run into people that I'd slept with. It's a small city.
You're amazing. I love her so much.
Anyway, point is that I ended up, so the fact that I was having so much sex and a lot of it was bad. So I was just like, why am I doing this for free? Like, I could get money for this. And men are like, they were treating me terribly anyway. Even if I would be like, hey, I want to be your wife, they would treat me the same way. If I turn around and be like, hey, I just want to sleep with you tonight, they would just treat me the same way. I've had guys hold my face in their hands without any, I haven't provoked them to do this. And they would just be like, listen, I will never ghost you. And guess what? They ghosted me literally the next day. And I was like, what prompted you to say that? Like, I never asked you for any kind of promises. It was a one night stand from my side. You held my face in your hands for no reason. And you're like, I'm not one of those guys. Like, did it do something for your ego? Because I was looking at him like very confused. Like, why are you saying this? And I was like, I don't understand.
I just want you to convince me that men aren't shit because I'm just constantly.
I am the wrong person for that.
Your family does not know.
That I sugar?
Yes.
Of course they don't know. They don't even know that I've had
so
sex.
So what if you encounter... Was your family here to begin
my
with?
My family is in Dubai.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have family friends in the city?
I have family friends in Oakville and Mississauga.
Do you ever wonder like if you just like...
run into someone?
Yeah, encounter and they're the person and then... you know, how do you deal with that? Because, you know, it's such a small world,
yeah,
at the end of the day.
No,
right?
Completely agree. I actually have a very funny story about sugaring. So one of the first times, wait, should I answer the family question first?
Just okay. Take it away.
Well, family, I just thought I'd go with the plausible deniability. I would just be like, that's not me. Someone stole my pictures. Seriously, that's just what I'm going to go for. My parents are incredibly naive, and they're the only ones whose opinion I give a fuck about. So, are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Of course.
Okay. Cool.
We can say pussy, but we can't say fuck. That would be something.
Pussy isn't swearing. It's like a scientific term. Anyway.
But is it indeed a scientific term in medical books? The pussy?
Anyway. So one of the things that happened with my boyfriend was that, okay, so he is obviously a great guy and surprise, surprise, he's single. That was shocking, right? So obviously he has a line of women who are madly in love with him. I didn't understand it at first because I was like, why are they in love with you? But now I very, very much get it. It is his personality, maybe not his look so much.
this kills me because it's true. Okay. I know you. You're listening and I agree with her.
I love him very much. But the thing is, so there was this girl who apparently wanted to get with him and has been in love with him for the past 3 years. She went to university with him. She had a boyfriend who they didn't, and she told the boyfriend that she was in love with my boyfriend. Well, this was before he was my boyfriend, but whatever. What a weird thing to do. Why would you tell someone that? Obviously, this said boyfriend does not like my boyfriend at all. And they recently broke up. But my boyfriend and her have just hooked up like a couple of times. They haven't even like slept together. They just did hand stuff. Okay. But I found this out later because my boyfriend thought it wasn't important to tell me these details. Well, he's telling me that she was in love with him. Men. Anyway, so then she ends up telling, so her boyfriend and I go on a sugaring date. And I didn't know that he was her ex-boyfriend. I just thought he was a random guy. He was really cute. We really got along. He was actually gorgeous. He had did the deed, you know, and then went back home. And then I realized that there were a lot of similarities. He told me where he went to school and stuff. So I was like, wait, there is a similar. So I just asked my boyfriend and he ended up saying, oh, yeah, I know him. This is her ex-boyfriend. And I was like, what? What are the chances? I've been in this city for like all of 5 seconds and I've already run into someone while sugaring who knew someone. Like, what are the fucking chances? Yeah, it was a whole drama. Like, we got into a thing with my boyfriend and I where he was like, I'm very uncomfortable. So I had to text the guy and not tell him why. And I was just like, we can't do this anymore. And he has, I don't know if he still doesn't know, but if he Googled me, he would know. And he knows who I am. Like, he knows my full name. And he didn't, apparently, because he texted me like 4 days later. But I then told him, listen, we can't do this. And my boyfriend was like, that makes me uncomfortable. And I completely understand that and respect it, even though it wouldn't hurt to do it again. But you know what? I respect him and I love him very much. So I was like, I won't do this.
That is so brave of you. I think it's very, do you feel very empowered?
I think sex has always made me feel very empowered. It's something that it also probably is a coping mechanism, and I probably should be seeing a therapist about this. But whenever I feel down or whenever I'm not having a good time, I just go and have sex. And it's usually with random people. So it's very, it's a process getting used to being in a relationship where I don't do this with random people. I'm either sugaring, which is work most of the time. Like, very few times I've enjoyed it. Most of the time they're not attractive or really annoying. And I would not sleep with them until they paid me. And they are paying me. So that makes complete sense. But sorry, you were going
to say. Oh, no. So I just wanted to add on to that or ask you about, because I'm coming at sex very fresh, obviously, but also I naturally have a low libido, I think. Do you consider yourself having a high libido?
Yes, unfortunately, and that is a concern for everybody involved in my life, including my roommate, my boyfriend.
So you know, to go off what Karam just asked, do you get turned on by these men? So how do you, if they're unattractive and it's boring, what do you do? Because, I mean, like Karam,
how do I get just, wet basically.
yeah because the question is sometimes even if I am turned on, it's like, shit, I'm not even getting wet, you know. It's like, yo, I have to do some real work over here, you know. how do you take care of that?
So my secret is that I'm always wet. It's just, I don't know what it is.
I'm forever flowing
like whoever I've been with,
you know what, just... good for you. Yeah. Good for you.
Lots of water. I don't know. I'm just a very sexual person. I just have a very high sex drive, and look, I am not attracted to these people, but that does not mean that I can't get wet. It's super easy for me to. To be honest, lots of times these guys are really not able to perform in any way sexually. And they're really old, right? And it's fine, whatever. But I'm still turned on because I'm here doing sexual acts. So I'm like, I'll get myself off. And I have done it right next to them. And they think it's so hot. And I'm like, okay, but I wanted to just get myself off. Like, this was not thing for you to see or watch. I don't care that you were there, but I'm just gonna get myself off.
You know, for the longest time, when I was having sex, it was very like, you know, I had to have sex and then I had to go shower and then I had to be sure I was clean. And then, you know, I had to like talk myself through how it was okay. So there was a lot of self-talk with it, you know. I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed the process. And I only became comfortable with it recently, you know. So when I hear something like this, I think it's amazing. You know, like I have girlfriends who have, you know, very high sex drive and, you know, they've, you know, they'll tell me their stories and I'm just like, wow, that is so empowering, you know. Well, like Karam, maybe I don't know how to separate sex with from emotion, because to me, I have to be emotionally attached to that person in order to get wet or feel turned on, and you know. But so to me, when I hear these things, I'm like, oh my god, that, so that is possible. You can do it, you know. So how did you educate yourself about this, and what are the precautions that you take?
And sugaring?
Yes.
I make sure I use a condom. There's just no way you cannot use a condom, even while giving blowjobs, because just no. And I make sure that I meet him outside, like in a public space, the first time. And obviously I make sure that we come back to mine, because I'm not going to go to yours unless I am super comfortable with you, which I am not with these guys at the start. So meeting at mine means that I have more control. I have more power. It's my house. And I make sure if they haven't paid, I make sure. And sometimes they don't. Like when you first meet them, they're supposed to have it in an envelope ready for you waiting. But they don't most of the time, which is really infuriating, because I make it clear that, listen, I don't want to be thinking about it during the rest of our date. I want to concentrate on you. But I make sure, but they still stop. They don't do it. And then they're sometimes, they always pay at the end. But I know that there could be circumstances that could lead them to not paying, because what if they didn't like me? And the first date is also paid, because I'm still getting ready and meeting you. And it's a small enough amount for you to pay to not get worried about paying. And it's not like, it's not the regular rate, you know? So there are different ways to go about it. I would definitely say it's like, leave your live location on. I do that with my friend, my roommate. She's usually at home. So I just send that over to her and she can track it for the next 8 hours. And that's it, really. I mean, you are most likely going to be having sex on the first date. If not, then on the second, you just have to be comfortable with that. But I would not advise anyone to do this who isn't comfortable separating sex from emotion. And even if they're struggling with it a little bit and they've done it a little bit before, just don't do it. It's not for you. Because even for me, like the first time I did it, I came home crying, because the guy was so cold. He was incredibly cold. I had to hold a conversation, and I can talk for hours, as you can all see. But I didn't want to, and he just didn't make me feel welcome. He didn't make me feel attractive, even though he'd said before that you're very beautiful. But it was when I was there, he wasn't even looking at me directly. He was looking away. And then at the end, he said that, oh, let's do this. But I politely declined, even though I hadn't asked for money on that date. But I would, like, if things were supposed to be sexual, he did promise that he would pay me money. But I declined. And you know what? Surprisingly, that I've noticed that consent is better understood by these men than the men that I've met on Tinder, who do this shit for free.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Just, that blows me away. And I think something that I find really fascinating about you, amongst the many, many things I find fascinating about you, is that we've had similar upbringings in the way that, you know, we grew up in a conservative culture. You know, you grew up in Pakistan and Dubai. I grew up in Saudi and across the Middle East. But I very much have internalized, I guess, conservative Muslim expectations of me, of how to be a woman. And I'm going through this process of unlearning, and I'm constantly, I guess, not traumatized, but just dealing with this process of unlearning. And it's just really difficult because I don't know how long it'll take. And I just feel like you've managed to I guess detach yourself from that, or just make sure that, you know, you're living your life the way you want to. And I very much don't even know the expectations I'm absorbing subconsciously from my parents, or are they my expectations about myself? So I'm curious about if you've ever struggled with that.
Oh, for sure. I have definitely struggled with it, but I don't think it ever mattered to me that much, because like leaving my faith and all of these different things that happened to me simultaneously, I did realize that I've got one life. Like, how much of this am I going to be spending? And I'm still, look, I'm still dealing with a lot of the aftermath of still being a Pakistani and doing all. I'm trying to erase, well, not my identity, but I'm trying to erase all the things that I haven't been able to get by moving here, and I'm taking control of my life. But I feel like it's been 27 years and my life just started, and I'm just starting my career in Canada. What if I had been born white or had been born here? I would have that leap start. And I just feel like it's unfair, all these things that leave so much baggage in our minds and even in our lives and in our choices, that who would we be if these things didn't exist? But yeah, no, I've never started, because I just want to get away from all of it as soon as possible while still not detaching myself from who I am. There are some things I love about Pakistan, and I want them to be inside of me, and including Dubai. Like, Dubai is awful, but like, it's also my home. So yeah, so I think it's a process. I wish I could tell you how fast it's going to be. I think everyone deals with it very, very differently. And I think just surrounding yourself with people like this, it really, really fucking helps. That's the one thing I would keep saying.
Did you educate yourself when you know how you said you educated yourself online? Was it just random websites? Was it just through porn? Yeah. Was it
not even porn, actually? I started masturbating, fun fact, 3 years ago. I've been having sex for like 7. I started masturbating 3 years ago. Because I fit into this mold that women don't masturbate. You know, women aren't sexual creatures, and I would never push the guy to have sex. Like, I mean, I started doing casual sex a lot more, but like, there's a difference between now me and a 3-year-old me, as in 3 years ago me, because I would still make a lot of allowances for men in conversation, in sexual acts. I faked an orgasm, then I told myself I would never do that again. It was so annoying. And it required so much effort. I was like, this is more exhausting than an actual orgasm. Plus, I don't even get an orgasm. Why am I just polishing her ego? So I was like, I'm never doing that again. And I've been in situations where the guy's like, come for me, babe. And I'm like, first of all, why would I come for you? Who are you? I don't even know your last name. I don't even know if your first name is your real name. Why would I come for you? Have I ever said this to a guy? Have you guys ever said this to a guy?
No.
Why do guys say this? PSA to all men, please don't say this. What was the question? Just got so angry at that little point.
It was a little vent session. No, I love it. We are angry today.
Oh, I've got so much in my... This is a therapy session. We should do this again.
No, this is amazing.
But yeah. So then my gynecologist, I went to her and she was just asking me questions routinely, looking down at her register and just writing something. And she's like, so why are you here? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going to go out and say it. So in Dubai, obviously, there's a taboo. You can't have sex before marriage. It's actually illegal. So I was, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's illegal.
It's illegal to have sex before marriage?
Yep.
Yes.
Welcome to the Muslim countries.
Welcome to the
Western.
Yeah. Well, Saudi and Dubai are very different.
Okay, but like, come on. They're both Gulf countries that are very conservative, but you're right. Because
yeah, Dubai pretends to be cool.
Sorry. Yeah, no worries.
I didn't think there was actual rule. Like, how do they even know?
So they don't really enforce it. Everyone is having sex before marriage.
But I do have to say, if your parents, I think in some families or depending on conservative communities, if they request that their daughter get checked to see if her hymen is intact before a marriage, sometimes in more
Dubai?
Traditional marriages. No, I'm talking about Saudi.
Oh, no, Saudi.
That is requested. I don't know if it's the same in Dubai, but I'm...
No, I mean, okay. Look, we do have virginity tests in Dubai, which is very, very wrong.
Has anyone done a virginity test?
No.
Do we know how it works?
Yeah, it's a 2-finger test, right? Isn't it? Oh, I'm not sure. That's what I thought it was. But it kind of like, if someone's putting 2 fingers up you and they're like, oh, they went in. Well, now she's lost her virginity, quote unquote, right? So what are you trying to prove? I don't understand. Virginity is a social
construct. Anyway, back to your gynec story.
Oh, so yeah. So she's just like asking me questions and she's like, so what happened? And I'm like, well, I bled during sex. And I just said it. Well, I did my research. You could go to gynecologists and it's fine. They're not going to tell on you unless you have an STD. Ooh. So I was like, and one of the major STDs. Actually, no, my friend just contacted me. She has two STDs and she, like, the normal ones like chlamydia and stuff. I'm saying that. By the way, I'm 200% clean. Have always been clean, surprisingly. Do not ask me how. I've done dumbass shit. But I'm apparently always been clean. But she just found out, and she's slept with, like, not even like 2% of people I've slept with. And she has two STDs. Things that can go away with medicine, but she had to get registered in the government list. And she was a little scared about that, but the gynecologist told her, don't worry about it. They're not going to do anything. So unless you have, like, HIV, it's not a big deal. I mean, if you have HIV, I guess it is a bigger deal. But no, you won't get deported or anything. But yeah, so I went to her, and she's just asking me, she's like, so you bled during sex? And she's literally, without even looking up from her writing, she's like, so was it your first time? And I'm like, I get so indignant and defensive. I'm like, no, of course not. And she just, like, stops, looks at me, and she's like, I have to ask. You have to understand what the kind of women who come in here are. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And then, and she's just looking at me, then she starts laughing, and then she's like, okay, fine. And then I get on the stirrups, and I'm not opening up my legs. And she's like, could you put your legs apart, please? I need to really look into this and find out what's happening. And I'm like, okay. And I'm so uncomfortable. And my friend from outside is like, because she can hear everything over the curtain, she's like, if you'd kept your legs closed in the first place, you wouldn't be here.
Oh my God. What are friends for, right?
Yeah. Everyone's cracking up in the office. And I was like, wow, I didn't need that. And yeah, it turns out it was just mid-cycle bleeding. And I told her, I was like, I've never had this before. And she's like, bitch, you've only been bleeding for what, 12 years? Chill. It's normal. Like, she's like, yeah, there's always a first time. It was just mid-cycle bleeding. Nothing happened to me. I was shook, but yeah.
That is amazing. I just want to say thank you for sharing your stories.
Oh, no
that
problem.
One was very entertaining. I won't lie. It was very entertaining. I could go on forever. But two, I think very fascinating, you know, like to meet someone who's so confident about sex and who's so okay with it and more so detached from it, you know, like
I do enjoy it.
Of course. But I mean, detached from it where you're like, this is work and you understand that, you know,
it's very, very simple for me. But I don't know how that works. I'm not sure how it happened. There wasn't a process that I went through. It was just years of reading up on stuff. And obviously, I've been surrounded by, like, my girlfriends are amazing. But I would have to say I'm the only one who's doing sex work out of all of my girlfriends.
Right.
So I'm that girlfriend for them. But I'm the most forward one, you know, like the one who's out of the box. So it's not really my girlfriends as such. It's just that I have had like all my, like my sister and my best friends. They're all, even Karam, like someone who's just, you know, so new to this whole thing. When I told her, she was like, yeah, it's like she did not even for a second be like, are you going to be okay? Even though.
Do you get asked that a lot?
Yes, I do. Like some of my friends back home, they did ask me, they're like, are you going to be safe? And I'm like, it's the same thing as going on Tinder and trying to sleep with someone. Honestly, they could wear my skin tomorrow.
But you know, come to think of it, it's essentially, I think women get paid for sex, not necessarily with money, but in other ways, you know,
absolutely.
Could be a gift, could be an expensive dinner, could be,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, a nice
so that's
night
all sugaring.
Out. So it's all the same thing,
yeah.
Regardless of what you call it, right?
Yeah.
It's just how we choose to feel good about ourselves. Sometimes, like, I know, like, you know, you've gone on a date and you feel like, oh my God, he's bought me dinner. The least I could do is make out with him. Right? It's essentially the same thing, right?
But that's very problematic, though.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
Super problematic.
But you
yeah.
recognize it. And
yeah.
you're like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I'm
going
to give me a little
those,
something, you know?
Yeah. Guys have these expectations anyway. You've probably heard of so many cases where they're like, get mad at you that, oh, I bought you dinner. Like, there are so many things I've even read online that, oh, Venmo me this money back because you didn't put out. You weren't paying for a prostitute. It was a $30 dinner. What did you expect in $30?
Or, like, in my case, where we split the cost of our dinner and our date,
God.
But I went to his place, but was still explicit about the fact that I wasn't going to go past a certain point, but he took my invitation or my accepting of the invitation as, hey, I'm going to push it. And then he got angry.
Yeah.
And it was scary. It
yeah.
was scary. So it's just really interesting seeing almost this weird, like, bartering or, like, exchange where there really is an expectation of men when they just think you need to put out for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you had a good point there because I do see how problematic toxic masculinity is sometimes to men, because there's this culture where they're not able to emote. They can't talk about emotions. Yeah. It's seen as like very weak.
Yeah.
And I think it's just causing a systemic approach to, you know, disrespecting women. But it's because they also grew up with really fucked up expectations of how they should be as men.
No, patriarchy is harmful to everybody involved, but I mean, it's still like they're leading the world. So yeah, sure. Like my heart doesn't go out to them.
Yeah.
I do feel bad. Obviously, there's the child custody issue where women are, you know, apparently better caretakers and fathers never get to be with their children. But and then there is this whole emotion thing, the whole be a man, like, you know, and you have to harden yourself. And that must not be easy, because I think women have only survived being treated this terribly for centuries because we have emotional outlets. We have female friendships. It's so saddening to think that men will never have this. Mm-hmm. But female friendships is, honestly, female friendships saved my life. I just highly love
Ditto,
women.
Babe.
Well, I just have to say that if I was a single girl right now, I would be struggling. And kudos to you girls for putting yourselves out there and dating and getting uncomfortable,
just me now,
you know, and no, but yeah, you and, you know, I think if I ever became single right now, I would not date. Like, I don't even know how to function with an app, you know, so I would really struggle.
Left and right.
Right. I learned that last week with Karam.
No way.
She was like, she taught me you swipe left, and then if you swipe up, it's a super like.
Oh yeah. Oh
my
yeah.
God.
I didn't even know that. I mean, I didn't even know what sugaring was. I didn't know that was the term for it.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm so not aware of what, like, what's happening. I'm like, oh my God, I have all these issues and I need to deal with my issues. So, but it's amazing. I think you girls put yourselves out there and you girls are brave and you're sharing your stories, and it's amazing. I don't think I hate on men as strongly.
Sorry, Miss Andrews.
But to be fair, I have a very loving and supportive partner. So for me, if, you know, I don't struggle with some of these things. But I mean, like anything, it's taken work, you know?
Yeah.
It's definitely taken work. But yes, in the past, I have dated guys that I would call jerks, you know? So I feel bad for the people that are putting themselves out there, because I have girlfriends that are dating, you know, and they're on all these apps, and they'll share stories of, you know, you have to go and you have to show up, and, you know, you're sitting there and you're chatting, and sometimes it's really hard to find conversation because you don't really, there's no chemistry, and you're really trying hard to make it work, and then it's that awkward, it's not working, and you have to do it over and over and over again.
Oh my
and then
God,
there's one fish you catch that you really like, and then he's not that into you, and you have to go through all of this, and I'm just like, oh my God, that sounds so, I feel like I would age, you know, I would age dramatically. So
it's very stressful. It's just the whole prospect of getting ready. I really enjoyed the whole first date thing, but I also got really tired of it after like doing this for 3 years. I was like, okay, now I'm done. Now I really want to find somebody. But when I moved to Canada, I was like, I'm, you know, a new fish, new pond. Like, I'm gonna play the field a little bit. And then I met my dumbass boyfriend. And yeah, that was it.
Well, and the thing is, I feel like with this dating process, you know, your time is of value. And I worked so damn hard on my career. So my time in a day is so important to me. And so if I'm designating time to go on a date and do these dating processes, I really need to narrow down my expectations, or not narrow down, but like basically set my expectations so that I don't just say yes to everything. And I spend more time, I guess, deciding who I want to go on a date with. But yeah, I mean, Sunelle, you broke it down really well, where it's like you just do it over and over and over again. And I'm just at that stage where I'm like, you know what? I found I was just seeking validation sometimes with people who liked me. And then I realized, you know what, after this especially scary experience a couple weeks ago, that I just need to take a break and just get in touch with myself and just find that validation within myself, like through the help of therapy and working out and just, you know, self-care, and then try out this dating scene again and hope, you know, you land some success in this rat race. So
of course there are exceptions, and we're hoping that there are exceptions. We don't want to hate the race.
Exactly.
And for Karam's sake, I hope they're Arab men. So
that might be hard.
Satisfy her parents' needs and her needs, because I know that is so important to her, you know. And I'm not teasing you about it. I truly hope that it'll be an Arab guy.
Inshallah.
But
Inshallah.
Inshallah. There you go. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for coming and sharing
your
story.
This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
So much fun. So much education. So much entertainment. I've honestly enjoyed having you on. Guys, thanks for listening. Again, I'm Sinelli.
And I'm Karam.
And I'm Eamon.
And we will chat with you guys next week.